Jean Boldick is with me. She is the host of The Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Jean and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide, are they things or are they not really things?
What to pick?
Voting. We'll start with that.
Well, we'll start with voting.
I don't think voting has people upset on social media, but it's got people talking
upset
on social media.
So, you know, well, upset. I don't know if I'd go with upset for this, but at least, you know, busy and thinking and talking. And voting is definitely, thank goodness, I think, still a thing. Mm. That we're allowed to do, which we shouldn't take for granted. So early voting has started in our county, and everybody...
You are wearing your sticker. You voted today.
I just came here directly from voting at the Seymour Center on Homestead Road, and there are multiple locations, and this is easy to find and easy to do, and everybody should vote, vote, vote.
One thing that may be less of a thing this go-round, and I'm not saying this year, but this particular go-round,
right,
the primary,
right,
that may be less of a thing than it ordinarily would be is early voting, because I always take advantage of early voting.
Right.
I always, you know, like I'm not first in line at the polls. Like, I'll do it at some point during the early voting period. But I was talking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, you know, last week or the week before, and he made the really good point that between now and March 3rd, we're going to have several very important presidential primaries. We've got the Nevada caucus. We've got the South Carolina primary. And by the time March 3rd rolls around and it's our actual primary election day, that Democratic presidential race might look a little bit different than it does now. So he's saying maybe it's a good idea to wait until actual primary day, just so you know that when you go to the polls,
you're not voting for someone who just dropped out.
Or voting for someone who got like 2% in Nevada and South Carolina, and they're making big statements in press conferences saying, yeah, we're still hanging in there. And
Yeah, there are a number, and you know, Bernie Sanders was in Durham today, so, you know, the candidate, you might get a chance to just, you know, get out there and meet one of the candidates in person, because we're getting attention from presidential candidates that we never have before.
Right, right.
Even though I'm sure they cared about getting our you know, electors and all that.
Yeah.
We've never been this early in the process, and it's a very different process, but...
One thing that, again, and this is kind of following up on conversations that I've had with Tom Jensen, but he makes the very important point, and we were talking about this before we even started, a lot of people are concerned / upset about the electability of various candidates, and I think specifically a lot of talk about Bernie Sanders, is he electable or is he not? And you've got people on both sides of this. You've got, and I'm seeing this on social media, you've got a contingent who are saying, we absolutely can't nominate Bernie because he's going to get trounced in the general election. And then you've got other people who are saying, we have to nominate Bernie because he's the only candidate who can beat Donald Trump. I'm going to say not a thing on both counts.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I just think that is the most bogus argument. I mean, this has all been, you know, hashed out 4 years ago about Bernie and the socialism thing. And let me tell you something. This is something that, you know, Bernie says this, and I think Trump says this too. Guess what? Whoever the Democrat is going to be labeled a socialist.
Exactly.
So, and, you know, by the way, we have a number of things in our society that are socialized.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us who sent our children to public schools, for example, are taking advantage of a socialized government-funded process.
Right.
Or
UNC or Durham Tech or going up into the college and university level.
If you ever have the unfortunate occasion that your house is on fire and you call 911 and you want the fire department, you don't call a private company to come and take care of your house fire. You just call and, you know, this is socialized. It's run by the government.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know this, but that didn't used to be the case. Long ago, long, long ago, when I worked for the Hartford Insurance Company in Hartford, they, in the orientation, explained that it used to be that you would buy your insurance coverage with Hartford Fire or the Travelers Fire or whatever, and you'd put this shield on your house, on the outside of your house, And then you would have to call your company to come out and put it. And they quickly figured out
that this that didn't work all that well.
Yeah, this was a stupid way of doing this. So matters of public safety like that, like police and fire protection, these are all socialized. They are run by the government. There are some, as Elizabeth Warren has pointed out, not to push anybody in a direction, but she's the one who I've heard make this point. There are areas of our society where private markets just don't work. They don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And these are some of those areas. And she and Bernie Sanders and others are making the argument that healthcare is probably one of those sectors of our economy that should no longer
and
be
that's
in
a,
private.
And that's a debate that we can have,
right.
And we can have that serious
exactly.
conversation and good arguments to be made on both sides, but
right.
just like tossing labels at people, like, is
yeah, right.
just silly
I,
all
yeah,
around.
But I think that, I don't think that Bernie is talking about nationalizing, you know, every major the steel industry or, you know, whatever, and
yeah.
I don't think Americans could ever tolerate
and
that.
And the same thing is true about people who say, oh, this is the candidate that we have to nominate because they're the only
right.
person who can beat Donald Trump. And you made the very good point. I was reading Thomas Friedman, a New York Times columnist,
yes.
had a column I think went up today saying, oh, it was a pro-Bloomberg column, but spent a lot of time saying, well, we can't nominate Bernie because Trump's going to call him a socialist. And you're right. Like, it doesn't matter who. Yeah, Trump's going to throw insults and names at whoever.
Bloomberg
it doesn't
already.
Matter. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There are good arguments to be made against Bernie Sanders getting nominated. That is a bad argument.
That is a bad
one. We should
one.
Stop making it.
Yeah, I'll give you the good one, by the way, that has some basis, which is in the first two primaries that have happened, the primary and the Iowa so-called caucus, 60% of the vote, I think in both cases, went to the more moderate candidates, and 40% went to either Sanders or Warren. So that lane of, that progressive lane of the party is apparently not,
is
you know,
narrower
prevailing.
Than we
yeah, it's
would
narrower,
think it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So I still don't think that
although again, I don't know
think
if
we
that's
know
even,
anything yet.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that on March 4th. We'll know something.
We'll know something.
After
we'll know
Super
more.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think then you can start really feeling like you know something.
Right.
But in this case, wow.
And it's certainly, like, I look back to 2016 on the Republican side, right?
Right.
When,
oh my goodness,
A,
yeah.
it was Donald Trump 30%, everyone else combined 70%.
Right.
Oh, man, Donald Trump is really marginalized within his own
right.
party. Oh, he got the nomination. Well, that's the general election. There's no way he could possibly win.
Right.
And then, bloop, he
yeah,
did.
Yeah, we see
so,
the predictive value of all that.
I think we, I think there are other things besides.
You know, when the country goes crazy, there's no figuring it out.
Yeah. Other things?
Until later. Well, Bill Barr gave this interview yesterday with ABC, and he said, oh, you know, the president's tweeting is making it impossible for me to do my job. And there's been all this, oh my gosh, what's happening? Is he trying to distance himself from the president? No. No, that's
maybe.
Not what he's doing. Let's see what he's
Let's see what he does
he
later.
Doing.
Yes.
Well, what he did today is the Justice Department dropped their case against Andrew McCabe, the former acting director of the FBI, who's been on the president's you-know-what list for a while. The president wants to get him real bad.
Yeah.
And they dropped the criminal investigation into him. Probably because there was nothing there. They decided they'd rather,
right.
you know, do other things.
I appreciate...
I don't think Bill Barr is distancing himself from the president in any way.
We'll see. It always starts this way. Whenever you've got... And this we've seen this happen. I've lost count of the number of times where someone gets brought into the White House. They're in the president's inner circle. They've got this high-ranking position. And they're buddy-buddy with the president for X amount of time.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like, you start to see these little bits of tension and those emerge more and more, and then all of a sudden, John Kelly's on national television
right.
saying, defending Gordon Sondland.
Yeah,
and
wow.
that's where it goes.
Yeah.
So we'll
yeah.
see if it goes that way with
and,
Bill Barr.
And Colonel Vindman. I mean, I don't think the world of John Kelly, but I'm glad that he did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bolton, you know, defended John Kelly, and,
right.
and on goes the chain of guys who
John
would
Bolton.
Not stand up in time. For anything to happen from it.
This is another important point, too, because I don't know much, honestly, about John Kelly's politics. I know about John Bolton's politics because he's been very prominent for 15 years. I can't stand John Bolton's politics. I'm strongly opposed to John Bolton's politics.
Ditto.
I have never thought that he was a bad person. Or I've never thought that he was a corrupt person.
Right.
I have thought that he had terrible ideas, and the faster we can get him out of any position of power, the better.
Right.
But there is a difference between that and saying that someone is corrupt. There are people whose politics I agree with that are corrupt as hell that should not be anywhere near positions of power, and we need to be focusing on both of those.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you need, and you know, this brings me right smack back into our local elections, which is, you know, we need to elect people who are people of character, who have personal integrity, and who will stand in our place in that position of power and exercise good and fair judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not looking at this point at, you know, that your position, you know, in a school board race, for example, is on X versus Y. But instead, you know, just whether or not you're a stand-up person and you tell the truth. I mean, honestly, that's what I want. I want to feel like you're going to be, you know, in a meeting late at night where you have to make a difficult decision, and that you'll make the right decision for the right reasons.
For instance, in a school board race.
No, I mean, in a school board race or any other race, I don't mean to single that out, but you know, in school board races, you know, these are nonpartisan. You really can't fix an alignment on a particular partisan approach. But I just think, I think in a county commissioner race, same thing. I just think you need, you know, people who you can have access to, you feel like, you know, will call you back and, you know, this kind of stuff, and mm-hmm. who are accountable to the people.
Especially
they
on the local level, because those are the elected officials who don't have 500,000 people that they consider constituents.
Exactly.
They might call you back.
Yeah.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Quentin Harper
is
on the water cooler this weekend. He's so great. I don't want to give away too much, but there is singing.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's him singing, not me, so.
That's why I liked it.
Yeah.
9 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday, is that correct? 1 p.m. on Sunday.
I think 1 and 8 p.m.
on
Sunday, unless there's something else going on.
I think
on.
8 p.m. on Sunday. We've got a women's basketball game on Sunday afternoon.
Okay, definitely listen to that game.
1 p.m. and 8 p.m. on Sunday when not preempted, but yeah.
Yes, when not preempted.
Weekend water.
9 a.m., come on.
Weekendwatercooler.com for the full archive. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Thank you.